This is an ABC podcast.
After their busiest season on record, tourism operators in outback Queensland are preparing for another influx of travellers. Adventure seekers, grey nomads and tourists looking to see all the wonder of regional Queensland. But this year, will cost of living pressures put the brakes on big spending?
People are still keen to do things. It's just a matter of they're just a bit more careful with their money. But it's certainly, you know, those interest rates are biting hard and the cost of living is biting hard on people.
I'm Alex Hyman and this is Australia Wide. We start in the Northern Territory, where vital health services are battling to stay afloat. Australia's last free family planning centre will start charging clients fees to deal with soaring operational costs, as other frontline social services look to reduce hours and sell assets to keep their doors open for vulnerable clients. For the first time since the doors opened 50 years ago, the Family Planning and Welfare Association of the Northern Territory will begin charging clients a gap for their appointments. At the same time, one of the NT's last specialist women's health services, Ruby Gaia, are doing whatever it takes to continue supporting the community. Lillian Rangier has the story.
Hello, Family Planning. Robin speaking.
You may know Family Planning as that place that gives out free condoms, but in every state or territory, non-profit family planning centres help Australians access dignified sexual and reproductive health care through sex education, STI checks, contraception, abortion and pregnancy care.
We have got a nurse that can help you with that.
They're also an integral resource for regional and remote communities, training remote and Aboriginal healthcare workers to provide important specialist care. The Northern Territory is the last jurisdiction where all appointments are bulk billed and family planning is free. But that's about to change.
The mixed billing is going to start in May, and very hard decision for all of us and something that we didn't think would ever happen.
That's Family Planning and Welfare NT's Chief Executive, Robin Wardle. With inflation, successive interest rate rises and the increase to the minimum wage last year, she says the costs to run the service have risen by 5 to 6% on average over the past year. And while Family Planning NT received a funding increase of 1.08% from the Northern Territory Government this year, Ms. Wardle says it's not enough to cover those costs.
Just to give an example, wage growth went up. Staff wages went up on average 2.5%. Leasing costs have gone up 3%, 6% last year, 3% this year. We even looked at our power bills to try and work out how we can cut some of the expenses. And the power bill's gone up about 8 to 9%. So there's other things. When you run a health service, it's always going to be an expensive service.
Family planning provides the majority of medical abortions in the NT, which have been decriminalised since 2017. The service was also able to secure an extra $27,500 from NT Health this year, which will allow abortion care appointments to remain free. It will also continue to bulk bill under 18-year-olds and in some discretionary cases. But Robin Wardle says she doesn't want to have to make anyone pay.
Poor people deserve a bit better. Sexual reproductive health is a vital service for the community. They know the amount of work we do, and I think it should be funded better. And I think it's a wrong message.
It's Samantha Chung, M Quarter, Ruby Gaia.
Ruby Gaia is the Northern Territory's only free specialist frontline sexual assault and domestic violence counselling and support service, and it's operated for 35 years in Darwin.
Sexual assault is right up there, and between Ruby Gaia and SARC, which is the government-run sexual assault referral centre, that's it. That's all that people have to go to, so for specialist sexual assault.
But Samantha says she's selling the company car and closing for one day each fortnight just so it can keep its doors open.
We're not going to close. We have too many clients to close, and we have too many people relying on us for our service to close.
Ruby Guy's costs have risen by 6% this year, and she's waiting to see if she will be refunded for another 5 years in the Northern Territory budget.
Our contract's running out, so therefore we, as other organisations are, we're renegotiating the new funding agreement with the Department of Health. But no, we're not getting any additional funding to support the frontline service that we provide.
Sarah Holder from the NT's Council of Social Service says underfunding has long been an issue, but inflation is making the problem worse.
So just in the same way that people experience cost of living pressures when the consumer price index increases, so the price for food and fuel, those sorts of things increase, the sector experiences those same increasing pressures.
Family Planning and Ruby Gaia aren't the only ones tossing up whether to build clients or downsize.
There is rising demand in our sector. And, you know, this is particularly for people who need support from, you know, in terms of financial counselling, housing support, that domestic family sexual violence area. You know, it's really alarming for us that our services are having to make these decisions around staffing and service provision.
We asked the NT's Chief Minister, Natasha Files, about Family Planning and Ruby Gaia's funding issues, and she acknowledged the services are vital, important and needed, but she wouldn't commit to increasing funding to meet their costs. She said her government is still considering how to support community organisations leading up to the Territory's budget in May.
Lillian Rangier with that report.
This is ABC Australia Wide.
And you are with me, Alex Hyman, in for Sinead Mangan. It's great to have your company. After their busiest season ever, tourism operators in outback Queensland are preparing for another influx of travellers to hit the road. But this year, cost of living pressures are expected to put the brakes on big spending. Lily Nuttling has this report from Northwest Queensland.
For many travellers on an outback Queensland road trip, Porcupine Gorge is a must-see. The towering cliffs and flowing creeks are a 40-minute drive from Hughenden in the state's northwest. Dean Fawkes has been the park ranger at the site for more than 12 years.
We've been called Australia's version of the Little Grand Canyon. I like it the fact that it's sort of really in the middle of nowhere. You get on this batch of country and all of a sudden, bang, there's a gorge.
Since the pandemic, he's never seen the national park so busy.
Definitely a large increase in the amount of volume that's come through, and not just the same type of tourists, but different. So more than just the young families, more than just the grey nomads, just people from all classes, really, just getting out and having a look around. Since COVID, we've gone from what we call our regular tourist season, which is booked out for about a month in June, to extend that to about booked out fully for about 3 months now. So there's quite a few more tourists coming through, and that's just for the camping side of things. With the day use, there's a lot more traffic coming through, and it's not uncommon for us to come here and find all the car parks are full and then a few cars stacked up down the track there, which is something we've never seen before.
2021 and 2022 were bumper years for outback tourism. The small towns and wide open spaces were seen as safe travel destinations during the pandemic, and caravan sales boomed. It shielded small business owners like Jodie Coward from Hughenden from the pain being felt in other parts of the tourism industry across the country at the time.
We were so busy during COVID because people saw us as safe, like remote, less populated, less chance of being overcrowded. And last year, I think there was 2 days in the peak where the information centre had 500 visitors a day. So like our total town population is 1,100 people. So on any given day, our population increases by 50%. Like, that's crazy. So that's how busy we are.
The outback tourism season begins in autumn and hits its stride in the winter months. But this year, cost of living pressures are front of mind for many travellers, causing uncertainty for operators. Outback Queensland Tourism Association Chief Executive Denise Brown is forecasting a drop in spending and visitation.
We don't anticipate that it will be as huge in volume as it's been in the last 2 years. People are still keen to do things. It's just a matter of they're just a bit more careful with their money. But it's certainly, you know, those interest rates are biting hard and the cost of living is biting hard on people.
The return of cruise holidays is also splitting the market. But Denise Brown says there's still appetite from travellers in states like Victoria and South Australia, eager to hit the road.
We've just done a couple of caravan and camping shows in those states, and there's a lot of pent-up demand. So we're looking forward to seeing all those travellers with their great hardware that's been sitting in a garage.
Dunrumple Tourist Van Park, this is Brad.
In Charters Towers, an hour and a half from Townsville, Brad Chilton's holiday park is still getting strong bookings.
So the last 2 years have been the best we've ever had, and I think the next year will be a good one as well.
For now, he's not too worried about losing trade, even with international travel back on the cards.
There might be a slight fall off, but the main thing to consider is there's a huge number of new RVs out there. So people own these caravans and the motorhomes, and obviously they're going to use them. And I think it's here to stay. I really do. I think it's something that people want to do.
That's Charters Towers caravan park owner Brad Chilton, ending that story by Lily Nuthling.
You're listening to ABC Australia Wide.
A First Nations social enterprise in Western Australia is helping keep young people out of the justice system by reconnecting them with country. As One Nyitting runs cultural programs led by teachings from Ballardong elders, and thousands of people have now taken part. The group has a new centre in Northam, 100 kilometres east of Perth, which is celebrating the six Noongar seasons and the importance of cultural connection. Sam McManus has this report.
Amid the hustle and bustle of traffic in the Wheatbelt's largest town lies a cultural refuge for First Nations people. Jerigi Maya, named after the Zamia plant native to southwestern Australia, is a centre in Northam focused on reconnecting Noongar people to country.
We get to build our messaging, we get to build our way of life through culture to ensure that we're protecting country and we're protecting our way of life, which is the oldest and richest culture in the world.
First Nations organisation As One Nyitting was launched in 2015 by Zoe Davis and her husband Rob, who were inspired by a desire to keep young Indigenous people out of jail.
We realised there was a direct correlation between justice and the Department of Child Protection and taking young people off country, away from family, away from culture. Because culture gives us the freedom to do what we need to do, which empowers the community and then sets a foundation of self-determination.
The social enterprise runs programs passing down knowledge from generation to generation. More than 2,000 people have now taken part in the sessions, which focus on wellness and tradition.
We've built this journey together over this time, so it's about making sure that we continue to do that with authentic knowledge, with local language. And we do it in a way that we can all feel inspired but celebrating Noongar culture. Because, yes, it belongs to the First Nation people, but we have a responsibility to ensure that all can be a part of it. Because it is positive, it is powerful.
The new Northam Centre celebrates farming practices used across the six Noongar seasons and provides a place for local people to yarn and learn about their history. Cultural elder Trevor Davis grew up in one-horse towns throughout the Wheatbelt, often living and working off the land.
People wouldn't be seen dead there now living because it's so old and it's so laid back, and the houses were back in the 30s and 20s.
He learnt much of what he knows from his father and is now passing on that knowledge.
When we do this place here, As One Nyitting here, and when they come in, we learn them and teach them what we do, and it's coming from me what I learnt when I was a young fella. We hope that it gets on to the town and the town people come along with it, and you know, and there's no spite with the Aboriginal people, there's no against.
The Jerigi Maya facility also features locally made artworks, didgeridoos, messaging sticks and artefacts, which are on sale to fund cultural programs and projects for Noongar people.
People go out and buy an old vintage car, because an old vintage car comes from the past. Everyone wants one. Well, back in the past, the Aboriginal people had their own weapons. They're not on a shop shelf ready to be taken. They're on a shelf where an Aboriginal man or Aboriginal person, ladies, are making them and bringing up the past into the future.
CEO Zoe Davis hopes the site becomes a meeting place for her community.
So looking after our elders and our community is our number one priority. And, you know, taking As One Nyitting to another level to ensure that we can provide excellence to our community and integrity through our produce but also our messaging means that we need safe spaces to do that. And Jerigi Maya is a culturally safe space.
Zoe Davis there, ending that report from Sam McManus.
This is ABC Australia Wide.
To New South Wales now, where a project in the Snowy Mountains is bringing together scientists, Indigenous elders and performers to support conservation of the critically endangered corroboree frog and connect children with ancient stories. Emily Doak reports from the tiny Brungle Public School.
With the soundtrack of clapsticks and the squelching call of the northern corroboree frog, the 12 children from the Brungle Public School are practising their dance moves. This dance is being developed as part of a unique education project led by Taronga Zoo, working with Indigenous elders, conservationists and the acclaimed Bangara Dance Company from Sydney. The students are learning all about the conservation efforts for the striking black and gold northern corroboree frog. But as Walgaloo Wiradjuri man and heritage officer Shane Harrington explains, they're also engaging with traditional stories about the frog, which is known as Gaiak in the local language.
So the pathways would be along rivers and swamps, and our people would call to Gaiak when they would arrive at those locations where Gaiak inhabited. And so when they would call out to Gaiak, if Gaiak didn't respond, permission wasn't granted for our people to move to the next part of country. But our other story is that Gaiak is a bringer of rain. So when we hear the thunder and we see the lightning, them cracks, what's actually happening there, it's the thunder and lightning calling out to Gaiak for Gaiak to call back to give permission for the rain to fall.
Taronga Zoo's Susanna Boyd says while many projects aim to raise awareness of conservation, this one is about reconnection.
There's an importance to have Aboriginal people at the table and to reclaim their role because it's a system that's been in place for so long and was done with the right intention all the time around your relationship with country and relationship with animals and species and our role in that as well.
And the students are keen to share their knowledge of the frog.
Black and yellow. Wild and national park.
Helping the corroboree frog because they are endangered.
They lay 30 eggs.
They don't have, the strength to actually jump like other frogs, so they have to crawl and get away from predators as fast as they can.
They told us all what the chytrid fungus can do, and it keeps spreading and around until all the corroboree frogs are extinct, and the chytrid fungus is really bad for them.
They've had some expert help with the Bangara Dance Theatre travelling from Sydney. The company's Amy Flannery is a Wiradjuri woman from Forbes and says they've drawn inspiration from the children.
From there, we did a workshop with the kids and we got them to help us create the movement. Dance is so a part of culture and community that we would love to include them to get their input to empower them to create.
The year-long project has seen the students visit the frog's habitat at the culturally significant Mikalong Swamp. Check out the breeding program at Taronga and the stage at Bangara in Sydney. Aboriginal Education Officer at Brungle Public School, Regina Russell, says it's learning on many levels.
It's connecting them to culture. It's connecting with language, learning history and sharing stories. And it's really important to pass on those stories from our elders to the next generation.
Wiradjuri elder and Brungle local Sue Bolger instigated this program and she's pleased to see how it's captured the attention of the next generation.
Remember that story so that it won't be forgotten, and the children who are performing it here today will then tell their children and teach their children this dance, and it will continue, and that's what we want to do to keep it alive.
That's Auntie Sue Bolger, a Wiradjuri elder, ending that report from Emily Doak. And finally, for this week here on Australia Wide, the Australian Grand Prix kicks off in Melbourne tomorrow with an expected 500,000 spectators travelling in from across the country and from around the world. Formula One star Valtteri Bottas gained a classroom full of new fans this week after he visited a kindergarten in regional Victoria that is yet to reopen, more than 4 months since it was badly flood damaged. The Alfa Romeo driver will be championing those kids when he gets behind the wheel this weekend. Shepparton reporter Rosa Ritchie has the story.
Whoa.
Finnish Formula One star Valtteri Bottas has spent the weeks leading up to the Australian Grand Prix getting better acquainted with the land down under, taking a South Australian cycling tour and picking grapes in McLaren Vale's premium wine country.
The more I've seen, the more I just almost like fall in love with the country and the lifestyle. And obviously in the recent years also I've started to learn much more about the culture.
But the Alfa Romeo driver says it's a trip to a kindergarten in northern Victoria that has given him drive. Days before the Australian Grand Prix in Melbourne, Bottas travelled to Maroopna, near Shepparton in northern Victoria. One of two helmets he'll wear for this weekend's races is designed by Indigenous artist Ricky Kildea. Bottas will auction the helmet after the competition, with the proceeds to be split between two organisations championing First Nations youth, including Maroopna's Save the Children Kindergarten.
It's for me a chance as well to educate myself more, you know, and get to know different communities and do good, you know, and motivate people. And it is always nice to see that I can bring joy, you know, to can make somebody's day or even week or month sometimes, apparently. So it's a small thing for me, but if it helps, then yeah, it gives me good feeling and motivates me for the weekend, you know.
The Kindy community is made up of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children, as well as kids from diverse and disadvantaged backgrounds. The kindergarten building was heavily damaged during disastrous flooding late last year. Vandalism, theft, and regional teacher shortages have made things much harder in the aftermath. Lee Joachim manages the kindergarten. He says the support from Bottas will raise funds, lift spirits, and remind the children that they matter.
You know, that they are important, that someone of his stature would bother to come here to little old Maroopna and talk to the kids and see the influence that they have and we have as a service delivery model here, that we are important and that our community is important and what we've suffered, you know, through COVID and through floods, you know, and that continual trauma that our families will experience and us as our workers will experience as well.
Valtteri Bottas says this project has deepened his understanding about the lives and history of Australia's traditional owners.
We just got this idea that would be something cool to discover if there would be a possibility to have Aboriginal art on the racing helmet. I just thought would be great to support that community somehow, and found Ricky trying to find the right people, and he was willing to hand paint the helmet, and we shared ideas. He was asking questions like what things are important to me and stuff like that, and he came with two different designs, and that was it. And it's really cool that there's lots of meanings in the design itself. Many of the things that are like interesting to me as well, but also respecting the Aboriginal culture. So I think it's really, really cool, and hopefully people will like it.
For people who can't see it right now, could you describe a little bit about what it looks like?
It has quite a bit of blue because it is my favorite color, but then there's different meanings and lines and example footsteps, which means connecting to the land, shapes of something representing communities and meeting points.
Lee showed the celebrity driver around the damaged kindergarten building and introduced him to the kids. He knows firsthand how important this place is. His family history with the organisation goes back five generations.
My grandmother raised my mother on the riverbanks here. That's where she lived and raised her three children. And with the support of Save the Children, they provided some education for her family. And then, you know, my mother having me and me coming to this kinder, my kids going to the kinder and my grandkids going to the kinder. So there's five generations of connectivity with Save the Children. We are teaching the children that they do have rights and that their families understand their rights as well, and how we educate the wider community, and the children have a right to speak and to represent themselves. And that's an important aim for me, coming from an Indigenous background and understanding, you know, your rights can be extinguished from you. We are important, and the kids, the future of Australia is important, and we are providing an education for the future of Australia.
That was Lee Joachim ending that report about F1 driver Valtteri Bottas, who is raising funds for First Nations children at the Melbourne Grand Prix this weekend. And that's Australia Wide for this week. A big thank you to Madison Snow for production duties. I'll be back again with you on Monday. I'm Alex Hyman. Have a wonderful weekend. Cheerio.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.